He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. Welcome to a new week. Back to school for a lot of folks out there today. And the market is kind of in between now. Catalyst. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And this is the Best Stocks Now show. We do have the NASDAQ up 3 cents right now. Oh, boy. Where am I going to spend it? The NASDAQ's at 21,621. A lot of talk about how expensive it is in today's headlines. We've got the Dow down 50 points right now to 44,895. The S&P 500 is just dead even right now. Wow, somebody wake up the S&P. Tell it that the market has started. The Russell 2000, it's doing best of all, up 22 basis points right now. The bond market fairly quiet. We're up a couple basis points there today to 4.33. And our friends at the Fed, notably Jerome Powell, he'll be in Jackson Hole. I always like that Jackson Hole trip this time of year. Gold is up a little bit. Oil is down a little bit. And Bitcoin is down a few thousand here this morning kind of a quiet Monday. Not like I say, we're earnings season is now behind us, so we're kind of in between. So welcome to today's Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner. Well, we left off last week with the market hitting new highs on Friday, but it was a mixed day. Market is quieting down a little bit. I saw that in the charts over the weekend. I sent out those charts, those major charts in the newsletter as part of the newsletter on Saturday with my commentary on each one. And we are, like I say, there's not a lot of catalysts. There are some earnings this week. We'll get to that in a little bit. There's no Fed meetings this week. I'm sure there's a few big economic reports coming down the pike. But other than that, there's not a lot of catalyst in the market right now until this quarter ends. In 6 weeks from now. So
yeah, probably what you'd mentioned it last week for NVIDIA earnings, but I think they come out, I think it's next week.
Yeah,
that'll be kind of that. Of course, we get a lot of Fed speak at the Jackson Hole meeting, you know, for this week. Powell will be speaking, I think, on Friday. And so we're kind of looking ahead to NVIDIA. I mean, that's the name that's been driving this rally for an extended period of time now.
Also, there are some big retailers reporting later this week. Home Depot's going to report tomorrow. That stock's been pretty lively recently. I don't know if you've noticed, but
We'll probably get a lot of tariff talk with the retailers, obviously.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, Home Depot,
where some of those goods come from.
I think some of that stuff is made in China when you get all those barbecues. And power washers and shovels and all that kind of stuff. We'll see what they shovel on Tuesday after the during the press conference. On Lowe's is going to report this week. Target, we'll get a lot of commentary, I would think, on the tariffs. Dollar Tree and Walmart on Friday. So this is big box retail stock week, which should be important. And then, of course, we've got the meeting today in Washington, D.C. at the White House between Trump and Zelensky. We're starting to get a little bit more color on what Putin wants. He basically wants captured, and he doesn't want to keep fighting to get the little bit that's remaining in the areas that he has not captured yet. He wants to end the fighting and just have Ukraine cede those areas to him. Otherwise, the bloodshed goes on. And of course, the European heads of states will be here. Head of states will be here in Washington D.C. today, standing alongside Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
I thought that was an interesting development, right? I mean, it's kind of bringing the whole gang, right?
Well, Europe has a lot at stake. You know, in reality, it shouldn't be us here that is brokering this peace agreement. Because we're like a long ways away. I know Zelensky said, well, you guys have an ocean between you, but someday you won't. And that Trump went off on that. When he said that, he said, listen, Vladimir, or Voldemar. I guess, I don't know why Ukrainian's a little different if it's two different names, Vladimir and Voldemar. But Trump did not like those comments that Zelensky. And let's remember, Zelensky's last appearance in the White House didn't go so well. He kind of left with his tail between his legs and flew back and got nothing from us. And in the meantime, what he did get is Europe ponying up a lot more money for the defense against Putin. So we'll see how that happens, how that works out here today. That was quite a meeting on Friday. I thought it was quite riveting, actually, to see it. You know, Putin gets out of his big Russian mega liner, and Trump gets out of his mega liner, and over them flies the like opening day of baseball, a couple B-37 jets buzz.
Yeah, the
Putin.
red carpet's out. Right?
Yeah, the red carpet, and our fighter jets are parked on the runway. I think definitely there was symbolism there and the strength of America. Don't mess with America. But Putin is not one to really back down. But he did see a show of strength there, what he's dealing with when he's dealing with us. And you got a big issue with other countries buying Russia's LNG.
India, for sure.
Yes, and I read that several LNG tankers are heading to Asia from a Russian export facility. They have sanctions on them by the U.S., so anybody who receives those LNG shipments and pays Russia for them, that would definitely test Washington's resolve to crack down on the trade amid these high-level talks over the war in Ukraine. And I would think Trump would follow through and say, look, don't unload the oil. The Iris and the Voskhod vessels, which are carrying shipments from the Arctic LNG 2 plant in Siberia, began traveling to North Asia via the Northern Sea Route on August 15th. Well, it's good to have satellites in the air, right, where we can spy on this kind of thing.
It's hard to it's hard for those big old tankers to sneak around the
We've even got the names of the ships, the Iris and the Voskhod. Two other tankers that recently loaded at the plant also started heading towards Asia last week. So European natural gas prices hovered near a fresh 2025 low. That's a hard commodity to invest in. It's a hard sector of the market to invest in. There was a time when liquid natural gas kind of had a little bit of a run. It was quite a while ago. LNG, Cheniere Energy, and APA, and some of the others, but they haven't done much since then. They're hitting a new 2025 low, and futures extended their decline on Monday before trimming losses. Obviously an end to the war would bring about even lower UNG prices.
Just a volatile. I mean, the problem that makes it hard to invest in is just the volatility. I mean, you know, in terms of having these companies so tied to an underlying commodity, and that commodity obviously fluctuates pretty drastically, and so it makes it hard. That risk return trade off is hard to accept a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if there's going to be an end of the fighting. Trump has said Zelensky can end the war with Russia almost immediately, but he's going to have to cede some land. He's going to have to recognize Russian sovereignty over Crimea. Russia would pledge to freeze the front lines in southern Kherson. It should return smaller pockets of Ukraine, northern Sumy, and northeastern Kharkiv regions as it is occupied. About 170 miles they're down to of territory, square miles, that if they can firm up that, maybe we would see an end to the fighting. Few other companies reporting this week. Boy, it is big box week. TJ Maxx, Ross Stores, BJ's Wholesale, and then you get Estee Lauder and Coty, a couple of the mascara stocks, Baidu on the tech front, Palo Alto Networks, Intuit, Analog Devices, a chip maker, and that'll about bring earnings season to a close. And it has been a good one. When we come back, I'll give you a quick update on this earnings season that is now 95% in the books, with only a few ones remaining, including the biggest one of all, the granddaddy of all of the earnings reports, NVIDIA, which will report next week. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, my heartburn in the market doesn't come from lack of earnings or lack of growth. This Q2, which is now 95% in the books, is up 11.8% year over year. And that's phenomenal growth for the S&P 500. Now, I would just say this. There's a small amount of companies, a nucleus of companies, let's call it, leading that growth, while the others, you know, 90%, 85% of the markets, the stocks in the market continue to just barely grow. You've still got that great growth coming from the growth areas of the market. And 11.8% year over year, when we started this quarter, the expectations were for 4.8%. So We really saw a big, much better earnings season than we expected. Now, Q3 will end in 6 weeks, and where we'll begin, here's where the bar is set right now, 7.2% growth versus the same quarter last year, and sales growth of 5.8%. For the full year 2025, we're looking for 10.3% growth year over year. And get this, 2026, we're expecting 13.3% overall, year over year. Now, where the rub comes in, it, for me, is the ratios. So in an equation of coming up with the value for an index or an individual stock, you multiply the earnings expectations by a multiple. And you can't just use any multiple out there, Barry. You kind of have to look at the historic multiples, PE ratios, that the market has been trading at, okay? For instance, this week, the P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 went up to 27.10. That's looking back over the last 12 months. That's above the five-year average of 25. We're way above the five-year average on P.E. ratio. And if you look at the last 10 years, the average P.E. ratio for the S&P 500 has been 22.5. So what does 27.1 do? Well, a little bit of heartburn. There's no question about it. The only way you're going to bring that P.E. ratio down is for the value of the index to go down, right? Okay, that would lower the P.E. ratio, all right, or the earnings to go up. And, of course, that's not going to happen because until earnings season begins. So we're kind of stuck at this multiple of 27.1 on the S&P 500 for now, which, again, is way above the 10-year average of 22.5. The forward P.E. ratio, which is the current price of the S&P 500 divided by earnings expectations over the next 12 months. I give more weight to this one because the market is looking forward. That P.E. ratio is also looking forward. It's at 22.5 right now, the forward P.E. ratio. We began this whole bull market back in 2023, this current little run we've had. We were at 17 back then, Barry. Now we're at 22.5. So we've come a long ways to the upside. And I'm seeing some comparisons right now. I don't think we're there yet, but we're seeing some comparisons to 1998, 1999, and 2000. I was there managing money during that period of time. And yes, we had some very lofty PE ratios, but we didn't have a lot of E back then. Earnings. We have a lot more E in the market today, earnings, and their quality earnings and their growth. And it's not just because they've got a .com after their name. I think we have a lot more solid earnings base now than we did in 98 and 99. But if you look at those ratios that we're at right now, you can definitely make some comparisons with 98 and 99.
Well, and historically, the names that have now, you know, we take the Magnificent Seven or, you know, Six or Magnificent Eight, whatever numbers you want to use, maybe take out Tesla there. But if you look at, you know, what is making up a large portion of the market now, right? It's certainly tech names and your very large tech names, which have, you know, commanded a higher multiple over time versus, you know, looking back at, you know, historical, you know, multiples that were, you know, roughly around 16 if you looked back, you know, 10-year multiples from 2015 backwards. But, I mean, I think you mentioned it that NVIDIA was, what, about 7% of the S&P 500 now?
Yeah, 8%.
So, yeah.
The biggest
waiting ever, right?
Ever from a single stock.
Yeah.
Now, I would just say if you go back to 1998, 1999, it was Dell, it was Apple, it was Microsoft.
Compaq
computers. It was a different, and Cisco. It was a different bunch of stocks, but they were pretty powerful themselves. So that's just one thing I have to take into account as a money manager, the current valuation of the overall market and the individual stocks. Here's something else to put it in perspective. NVIDIA's $4.5 trillion valuation, which is an all-time record for any company, publicly traded company in America, it now tops the entire Russell 2000 by $1.5 trillion. So the entire value of the Russell 2000 in market cap, of course, most of those companies are $200 to $300 million, really small. But you now have one company bigger than all 2,000 combined by $1.5 trillion. You know, it's just a statistic to throw out there. I don't think it really means that NVIDIA is way overvalued. I just think it shows you the power of what NVIDIA has with their chips and the growth that they have seen. The NVIDIA's footprint extends well beyond individual investors and stock index. The company is currently included in 667 ETFs, reflecting how deeply it has been woven in both active and passive investment strategies. Passive would be the S&P 500, which is now 8% of the S&P 500. If you look at the semiconductor ETF, of ProShares, it's 28% of that ETF, 28%. Granite Shares has a 2x long NVIDIA, so it's a big portion of the S&P 500. But you get down into the chip sector, it's about 1/4 of that ETF. So anyways, are we at a bubble here? Well, we have some bubble-like numbers on the forward P.E. ratio and the P.E. ratio. But you don't just go out and sell because of that. you got to actually see the market start to see some lower earnings estimates. You've got to see some technical breakdowns in stocks. And we're just not seeing that yet. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in China right now. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Hit us in a bad place,
and I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a right place. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, it's a pretty quiet day, but the markets have maybe improved just a little bit. The NASDAQ is now down just 6 points. The Dow is down 13 points, and the S&P 500 is down 2. Kind of a quiet day as it relates to kind of the history what's going on in the earnings front, not a lot of big economic reports here today. So we're kind of, got a quiet day going on here so far, but we'll take it, right, Barry? I like quiet days in the market
Quiet's okay, especially coming off a weekend where you know, it's had a lot of news cycle, right? Since Friday at what, 3
Friday
PM,
was riveting.
You know, and then beyond. So markets taking a lot of this in stride and we'll see what today holds in terms of the meeting.
With the big meeting. I do have my TV on in the background, no sound, but watch it. China had a good week. You know, China's markets have been doing pretty good here recently. I think it's because they're cheaper than other markets around the world.
Probably
if you look
true.
At Alibaba, P.E. ratio of 13. If you look at Tencent Holdings, these are massive companies. I mean, Tencent's a $700 billion company. It has a forward P.E. ratio of 18.
Yeah, I think you pointed that out in a message late last week in terms of what the valuation was of Tencent.
Yeah, and NetEase is 16 right now. So you're talking low to mid-teens where we're in the mid-20s, okay? So that's something to take into account. And I do think things have settled down a little bit in China, I think. I think they're pretty worried about their economy. I think they're going to do what they can do to keep their stock market moving higher, but it is hitting a decade high. It's been a lousy decade for China's stock market. The trade tensions have dried up finally, or have minimized quite a bit. They have strong domestic demand. That's good. Their rare earth shipments rebound to the highest level since January, so everybody happy there on the rare earth front. China continues to produce 90% of the world's rare earth magnets. China, is it investable? I think the great big stocks, when you're talking Tencent Holdings, when you're talking maybe a JD.com, and other SoftBank over in Japan, Asia's actually been doing quite good. SoftBank's also been hitting new highs here recently. Now, one thing that is hurting China, big decline in shipping. That's a new threat to the U.S. consumer spending, a sharp decline in container ship departures from China to the U.S., is emerging as a new challenge for American consumers and could threaten their spending power. The slowdown in shipment increases the risk of product shortages. Well, we're going to see if the shortages start to show up in some of the things that we buy on Amazon.
We got Christmas coming up, so we'll know
Christmas
soon enough,
is
right?
coming up. there's been a fall in total shipping into the U.S. as well.
No shortage of Halloween stuff. I'm already seeing that at the store. That's pretty, it seems a bit early, but.
Yeah. My little grandsons, they love going to Lowe's and seeing the monsters on every aisle. They kind of peek around the corner, you know, and then, ooh, it's too spooky for me. I can't go down that aisle. But they love Halloween. I don't know what it is. So, anyways, we'll see if the consumers, us consumers, are able. But the departures, the shipping departures, are way down from what they were. We talked about a biotech last week, or 2 weeks ago, Tonics Pharmaceutical with a fibromyalgia drug candidate. It got approved. That's good news for Tonics.
Yeah.
TNXP is down 16.9% today. Go figure. Even though it's the first new treatment in more than 15 years, that's, you know, that's one of the risks you have of investing in biotechs. We don't own it. I'm just bringing it to your attention. If you know anybody that suffers from fibromyalgia, Wedbush keeps an AI 30 list. They're removing Adobe from it, and they're adding CrowdStrike. Okay, just for your information there. They are pretty up on that. Wedbush is pretty good on tech stocks. They also remove CyberArk. Well, that's being acquired. Moving Adobe, and they removed Elastic. You know a stock I missed? We owned it. Not too long ago. It is kind of a meme stock, and it also has had some pretty good earnings growth. Reddit has just been on a tear. Reddit started bullishly.
Reddit is the home of meme stocks.
Yes, so it's meme headquarters.
Right.
Look at the chart on Reddit. They're going to make $3 a share next year, but it's now trading at a P.E. ratio of 224. And a forward PE of 85. I can't bring myself to pay that, but man, their last four quarters have been phenomenal.
They're interesting in terms of the data that they have. So there's been so many, you know, just different, obviously different conversations and posts on that site that, that really these AI models would love to, you know, get a hold of that data and, you know, sort it and use it as a you know, as a way to train their model. So they've got, you know, they're kind of sitting on a you know, kind of a gold mine of data, I believe. So,
well, I do know that a lot of the answers that I asked ChatGPT come from chat rooms, and then with the links to where you mm-hmm. can find the backup of that. Now another thing I noticed here, this is back to school. And we've got several kids starting college in our neighborhood and in our church.
We just dropped one
there.
Off. We dropped ours off on Saturday. Yeah.
Well, tell them not to take coding, okay? The coding boom fizzles as grads struggle in a tech job market transformed by AI. So there you go. That goes right down to freshmen at college wanting to be programmers. That is an industry that's under pressure.
Yeah,
I think personally,
he's going for biology.
Yeah, okay, I'm okay with biology.
To eventually, hopefully, be a dentist, which we've talked about, maybe a little more AI proof. At least, you know, at least the, you know, doing the actual dental part.
I've talked about that with other dentists. They seem to be pretty AI proof. My son-in-law is a dentist, makes a very good living. He's only, you know, been at it for maybe 3 or 4 years. So, hands-on type stuff. And I think nuclear energy. I think nuclear is going to be a huge space. I was talking to my other son-in-law. He's at Fort Jackson as an officer there. And I was talking to him about the nuclear stocks. He says, oh, my neighbor works for a nuclear stock. Columbia, South Carolina is becoming a hotbed.
Oh, yeah.
And I would think that the University of South Carolina, the Gamecocks there, they got a pretty good football team. Not that great. Sometimes they're better than others. They've always been overshadowed by Clemson. But there's a that big private company, the nuclear company, is over there. So he's going to find out for me who his neighbor works for. But I think that's a booming area. Home Depot, tomorrow, it's in 400 ETFs. My problem with Home Depot is the slowdown in growth. And that just comes with old age, right? The slowdown in growth, their earnings growth has been very tepid here over the last four quarters. 0%, minus 2%, 9%, and then minus 3%. Overall, their earnings are going to be down 2% this year from the same from last year, 2025, and maybe rebounding to 8 or 9% next year. I think they've been hurt by the tariffs. Home Depot is still a very strong franchise, but if you're looking for capital appreciation, it's hard to get superior capital appreciation out of very inferior growers. And that's where it is currently in its life cycle as a publicly traded company. I see that this was an interesting story. LabCorp is going to launch an FDA-cleared blood test for Alzheimer's disease. Now they know for key markers, they look for they look for cholesterol and pH and all these different things, and I guess there's one thing now that can show up which could be an indicator of Alzheimer's, early onset Alzheimer's. What you can do about it, I don't know, but I found that to be interesting. Okay, when we come back, a few more individual stocks in the news today. We'll be right back.
On a winter's day. You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. A few other stocks in the news. You know the nuclear sector. Back in the year 2000, it was .com. Okay, if you added .com to your name, your stock was going to fly higher that day. Lately, I would say in today's marketplace, it's AI. And it's nuclear. Nuclear's been a big thing. Here's an extreme example. Here's a company, SRX Health Solutions, is going to acquire the assets of Royal Uranium. I thought, Health Solutions and Uranium. So I looked up Health Solutions, what their the description of their business is. And, you know, that's something they were doing back in the year 2000. There's another comparison. They were taking stocks that were, I remember, KTEL Records became a dot-com company, and it flew, was one of the stocks flying off the shelf because all of a sudden KTEL Records was going to have all of their music online. Well, SRX Health Solutions, listen to this, Barry. They provide pet products and services under the Halo and True Dog brands to help dogs and cats live healthier, and they're buying a uranium company. This is Tampa, Florida.
Wow.
I guess the pet food thing wasn't working out too well. It's a $5 million company, and they're going to acquire the assets of Royal Uranium, which spans Canada, Colombia, Argentina, and don't forget Namibia. So there you go. Signs of the times. Here's another uranium. Encore Energy, EU. I added this to the app today because it wasn't there. But they are acquiring a 5,900-acre parcel of private land located immediately adjacent to its Alta Mesa uranium project in Texas. So uranium in Texas, they say it's a compelling geology and location. I guess that brings in a lot more money than cattle, Barry. So there's another uranium play. And now here is the first Chinese car starting to land in on the American continent. Now, not us. We're not going to let those Chinese cars in. But NIO announced on Monday that it's planning further expansion. The Chinese electric vehicle maker plans to enter Singapore, Uzbekistan, and Costa Rica. So here we are, finally, Chinese EVs hitting our continent.
I saw a BYD car when I was in Nassau in the Bahamas,
what?
Actually.
Really?
This summer. So, yeah, just saw one. I was like, oh, I mean, I finally saw one in person after we've written about them over the years and everything else. So it was.
You won't see Trump driving one anytime soon, that's for sure. Or the Ford CEO, Farley, or any of those kind of guys. A sector that's pretty hot right now is this rocket. In fact, the space sector continues. This is also a little indication of an overheated market. If you go back to 2021, I think it was way more overheated. That was all of the COVID money floating around. And that was the year Kathy Wood's little fund just blew up to the upside before it totally tanked to the downside because she was in a lot of this stuff. But like Firefly, okay, that's a new rocket stock. The symbol is fly. It just went public and a lot of fanfare around Firefly, headquartered in Cedar Park, Texas, which definitely has some exposure. Texas not only has exposure to uranium, but also to rocket ships. You've got Houston, obviously, has always been big with NASA Musk? He's got some of his stuff down there, and I think maybe Bezos has got some of his Blue Origin stuff down there. And now you got this new one, Fly. Another area I'm watching is the delivery, sidewalk delivery. When I was in Miami a while back, I did see robots heading down the street.
Yeah,
little wagons, shopping carts, etc., with nobody behind them. Kind of weird, actually. Kind of like the Waymos up there in San Francisco with them running around the streets of San Francisco with nobody behind them. But Serve Robotics, I keep my eye on that one, S-E-R-V. I still think that delivery, of course, Dash, Uber, Instacart, Amazon cutting their teeth on delivery. That's become a big sector. In fact, I say the fastest growing restaurant stock in America is DoorDash, which now, you know, it used to be all you could get was a pizza or some wings, maybe a little fried chicken. Now it's just the whole world is your oyster, even roasted oysters if you want them. They taste better, though, coming right out from underneath that broiler berry where they're still bubbling and everything like that. By the time they get to your house in a DoorDash car, they're pretty soggy, like a big Dow stock.
Yeah, you got to refresh them in the oven or, you know, put them on low broil or something.
By then, they're overcooked and tough. And,
You can't overcook
an oyster.
I'm a texture guy, you know, so it's got to be just right.
Okay, well, you know what? We're out of time. We got to get this. We got to get our location nailed down today or tomorrow for the Bay Area, but that is 1 month out, basically, going to that Santa Clara area, right there by the where the 49ers play. Boy, that'll be about. They'll be not quite football season yet, but it's not too far away.
I saw your note in the newsletter. Yeah,
Tuesday night, the 15th, will be a workshop there in Santa Clara, San Jose area, and Tuesday and Wednesday appointments behind closed doors with the team. That is a lot of fun. I look forward to that. Those will go fast. I mean, they sold out in Bloomfield Hills, and I think they'll sell out here. But if you'd like to reserve a spot early, tell Edie, get on the phone, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. I'm sure she's going to be on that this week. Last Friday, I think, was her birthday, so happy birthday, Edie. You can wish her a happy birthday when you give her a call. And we'll see you in San Jose. Again, to reserve a spot, 855-611-BEST. To get a four-week trial to the newsletter, the live trades, full access to the Best Stocks Now app, GundersonCapital.com. Free week, four free weeks, no obligation. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.